Welcome to Sri and Kira Live, the voice of passionate action, bringing fresh perspectives and timeless wisdom for today's shifting paradigm. Now, it is your moment to open your mind, relax into your body and spirit as we explore the greater meaning of your now experience. Bringing wisdom, laughter, and clarity, here are Sri and Kira.
Namaste, beloved angels, and welcome to the Voice of Passionate Action. I am Kira Ra.
And I am Sri Ram Ka, and we are delighted to be with you.
You know, we are rapidly returning into retrograde here in May. Just enough time tonight to talk about everything that's going on in the month. Plus, today's topic, fundamentalism. Okay, the ultimate F word, because it really is becoming a world experience on so many levels, and something that needs to be, we need to come out of the closet on this one, Sri. We've got to talk about it.
Well, we're gonna poke some tigers.
And some bears. Oh my, lions and tigers and bears.
I'm just kind of smiling because it's really a big topic.
It's beyond big.
And it involves not only understanding a certain religious Velcro, it also involves understanding the nature of the evolution of consciousness.
Ooh, you're going to get deep on me, aren't you, Sri?
Well, I might.
You will. And before Sri gets too much deeper, if you want to get in that queue, because we're a live show and the queue's already getting pretty full. But
now,
if you want to,
do we
have a line or two open, give us a buzz at 888-627-6008. Remember, you can listen to the show while you're holding. And if it's busy, hey, after we take our first caller, call back in 888-627-6008. Now, Sri, before you get too intense on us, and this is a powerful show, I want to take a minute and talk about where we are in May. You know, here we are right now, and it's May 10th. And in so many ways, May already feels over to me because the energy is big. And I've been giggling lately with a lot of people that we are in what I like to call the pre-retrograde retrograde. This month, you know, we're already in the shadow. Remember that the shadow of this retrograde came in with that beautiful full moon last week, May 4th. So we've been in that shadow energy for a week. We're not even going to go officially retrograde till May 19. And yet I bet a ton of you are out there going, Kira, you said this retrograde was going to be this and that. And oh my God. Yeah, guys, the answer is intense. This is an intense moment because lots of reasons. Number one, the Earth is twinning. Number two, this retrograde is happening in Gemini, another twin energy. Number three, we are at a grand moment on the chakra vastu of this planet of being in the crown, which is that energy of space. And so you have all of this convergence that's giving you an opportunity to find balance. And so take in a breath, let it out, relax. And the more you relax and stay focused on the big picture, honestly, by the time we hit May 19, the retrograde is going to feel like this amazing relief.
It's an interesting phenomenon.
Totally.
When we have a wave of energy, because when a wave first approaches, there's an invitation, an anticipation, a sense of shifting one's attention.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when the wave comes crashing in, we really need to kind of flow with it.
Whew, you know, I'm kind of losing my breath, Sri, even as you talk about that, because that's really what's going on. And remember, beloved ones, that the crown energy can have that dual effect. It can either, you know, the crown is at the area of the brain. So you can either get very brainy and lose the heart, and you're going to see a lot of that happening kind of in that 3D density world, or you can anchor the heart and allow the crown to illuminate you and carry you into this beautiful space, allowing, remember that energy, that amazing full moon, to be an illuminated presence in full reunified balance with the soul. An incredible month, Sri, because next month, of course, we're moving into that lotus chakra, which is just crazy.
Well, we'll take it one month at a time.
Indeed, we will.
You know, we have been tracking with this rising energy now for the last 6 months. And as we are in month 7 here, moving into this cosmic connection, what we're dealing with is either an opportunity to move into a spacious beingness, a place that's beyond words, a place that's beyond concepts, dogma, belief systems.
Yeah.
And that cosmic isness, you might say, is the invitation. And yet, when we begin to approach that indefinable isness that is beyond the mind, there is a little fear in the body.
Yeah.
There's a trembling in the mind. It's because our bodies and our minds really can't go there, because the body and the mind are of density. They're of the earth. And yet the invitation is to reconnect with one's cosmic self.
Well, it is. And you know, Shri, as I'm listening to you, I'm really reflecting on today's topic, that we're going to be talking about this fundamentalism energy. And you know, is it even serving a purpose? And what's happening on the planet? And what the heck is fundamentalism anyway? Because everything you're talking about, one would say, well, gosh, when we have all this connection and illumination and divine presence and this twinning energy of the earth, third and fifth dimension, fundamentalism really does start showing or revealing why we're in this cycle. Because what's amazing to me is that for many, many, many of us, there is a sense that some energies are bigger than they are. And a lot of this is because, quite frankly, they're well-funded, yes. They're organized, they're smart, and they're committed. You know, passion, we always talk about how we are the voice of passionate action. Passionate action is about a soul-based presence on the planet, about bringing forward and really doing something in a way that expresses your passion for the benefit and the service of humanity. And yet, there is a lot of passion right now that's being directed in many ways. I mean, in many ways, fundamentalism is a passion.
Well, absolutely. It is a passion, and it's a passion that's aligned with the physical.
Yeah.
And this is the gift and the danger of it. Mm-hmm. Fundamentalism is, in a funny sense, the word describes it. It's moving into the root.
Right.
And
I'm
talking about the root chakra.
Well,
the vessel, the body, and the belief in fear of the unknown. Therefore, we need to abide by the rules.
Right, right. But you know, Shri, I'm still trying to get over how cool it is that really, when you look at that kind of textbook definition, it's about getting into the root. You look at how that applies on, of course, so many levels that it's just extraordinary.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, you think back many, many thousands of years ago when you would refer to a primitive culture. You know, we were shown pictures of Neanderthal and other early humans,
right.
And just pick a picture that you like. Ed. What they were doing at that time is they were aligned with the body. They were aligned how to keep the body, how to take care of the body, how to be with the body, how to be safe, how to have food, how to
be
warm.
Oh my God, we have a body, you know.
You know, and once those fundamentals satisfied, meaning, you know, with the development of tools and the whole, you know, Stone Age, Bronze Age. Moving into the place where man began to take command over the environment, and now survival wasn't quite as a challenge. The next step were belief systems, like beliefs on how to be together. How should we behave together?
You're talking about society.
I'm talking about society.
Right. So it was like the evolutionary process of humanism, maybe.
Yeah, of humans operating together in groups.
Right.
And there became a need to teach what's right and what's wrong. And what's right and what's wrong, of course, are defined by the particular group. You know, a group that doesn't have much water is going to have a big rule around water usage.
Agreed. Well, yeah, we're getting there today. You know, and I want to just remind all of you that as we're sharing this, for those of you that are familiar with the Pyramid of Spiritual Awakening, just kind of track with what we're sharing with you, because there's density consciousness, right? Which is all about this fundamentals, the body, the me consciousness, you know, the safety, there's spiritual activism, which is more of an us, you know, and as Shri is sharing these overlays and these evolutionary things, you may want to just kind of consider that. And if you're not real familiar with the Pyramid of Spiritual Awakening, we've done lots of videos on that at our YouTube channel, Official Shri and Kira. Read our book, 2012, You Have a Choice. Just throw out the word 2012, read the book. Lots of things.
Because you do have choices.
Exactly. So true. And just, you know, give yourself that gift of this overlay, because we're talking about this on many levels at once today and invite you to join us kind of in multidimensional space as we're talking about this.
So this little kind of really abbreviated overview that we're in the middle of, we're going to offer that, and then we'll take some calls, and then we're going to dive into it deeper.
I love it.
But just consider for a moment that we're moving from a body-oriented survival consciousness.
Root chakra.
Through the application of intelligence and maybe even a little divine guidance. Who knows? We've learned how to command the environment, how to grow things, how to fight animals, how to capture animals, et cetera, et cetera. And as people began to learn to live together, rules became necessary.
Yeah.
And rules were birthed through beliefs. Now, consider this for a moment.
I am.
We believe that X is right and Y is wrong. Therefore, we make a rule. We believe that there has to be someone to enforce the rules because the rules came from beliefs rather than from the heart. You see what happened here?
I do.
And thus, the kingly states, whoever was the grand hoo-ha, had through the dogmatic rules, there became a need for inspiration, creativity, and worship.
Yeah.
And so the first applications of that was to have a ruler, to have a kingly ruler, to have a divine ruler, to have one that you could emulate, to have something that was grander than the rules and dogma that was defining your everyday existence. And so consider that there is a cycle. And that we have been part of this grand cycle now for thousands of years. But somewhere, a couple thousand years back, they wrote it all down.
Uh-oh. Now, if you're going to go start talking about dogma, here's where I'm going to have to just start jumping in and freaking out, right? Because the minute we started really writing things down, it led to misinterpretation.
And it led to tyranny, because whoever had the rule book could rule.
Yeah, it's like, thee who has the book rules. And it was more than that. It was thee who could read the book tells you what the book says. I mean, it was the beginning of incredible manipulation, which is just an extraordinary overview of the way these rules came to be.
Now, before you start going, hey, wait a minute, you're being disrespectful or something, I want to just offer this. Every tradition on the planet has jewels of beauty and divine connection woven in with its dogma.
Yes.
And so I'm not here to criticize. What I am suggesting is there is an evolutionary pattern that happened.
Well, look at the evolutionary pattern of going from you're not allowed to read to we want you to read.
Well, or at what point did a woman evolve from being property to becoming a person?
Well, I think there's places where that still hasn't happened, but along the way, that has been happening.
But, you know, in both the Islamic dogma and in the Christian dogma, women are considered servants.
Well, Hinduism, there's a lot of that, Sri. I mean, there's many, many, many dogmatic traditions.
And so there's so many dogmatic traditions. We're not here to debate or talk about the content of dogma as much as to understand that fundamentalism is rooted in a belief that you are separate from the divine, that you're mortal, and that it doesn't really address the fear that goes along with that mortality except by offering a version of heaven. And so that's kind of the twisted piece here that takes people and wraps them into the dogma, is that I need a place to go.
I need to resolve my fear, period. Somebody help me. And that's, of course, what leads rise to all the rescue mentalities, which also lead rise to victim consciousness. Well, I mean, we're going to make ourselves crazy if we go too deep with this.
Absolutely. And so I won't belabor it any further. I just wanted to offer that perspective because it's important to understand that we are both divine and human at the same time. And our human history, the part of us that's aligned with the body, will very easily align with dogmatic traditions. It's kind of woven into the density.
Yeah.
And the part of our consciousness that recognizes that we have origins beyond this body, we have origins beyond this planet, that self will not be seduced. And therein lies the tension, and therein lies the solution.
In many ways.
So we'll let go of that for the moment. All I want to say is that every bit of this is a gift. Mm-hmm. Every discernment is a gift. Every religion is a gift, because every time we are devout in our practice, it will lead us to a point of recognition. We call that recognition mysticism in some traditions.
I bet they do.
Okay. Well, listen, my love, we have some wonderful callers standing by.
I bet we do. I always love talking to our callers.
And I think we're just going to head over to line one and say hi to Jean from Hawaii.
Well, namaste, Jean. Welcome to the show.
Namaste. Hi to both of you. It's so good to hear your voices.
And good to hear yours. How are you?
I'm fine. I thought I'd call in today and just get a mini soul reading. I seem to have kind of gotten stuck in a lot of things going on in my life, and in some cases feel like I've kind of derailed. So just looking for some guidance.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I would invite you to do is to relax. I want you to just, if it's safe to close your eyes right now, just do that. And just let out some breath. Just, you know, nice breath in and just let it come out. And as you do, it's interesting. The entire time you were talking, the greatest thing that I kept seeing around you was this sense of, I don't want to use the word wave. It was more like an embrace. It was like an embrace of water that was coming around and cleansing you and saying, it is your time to expand beyond that. The reason that you're feeling the way you are right now is because things have kind of gotten they're like on a plateau. It's like everything feels the way it's always felt. However, you're actually at a crossroads. There's a lot of choices in front of you right now. And this embrace that I wanted to use the word wave keeps coming around you, and it keeps bringing you right back into your heart. And that's the greatest message for you today, is that you've got to get back into your heart about what you really love and what really loves you. And that's the way they keep saying it. What is it that you really love and what really loves you? And that's part of the balance of this May energy, which is why I'm sure that you called in this week and we're our first caller right now. And they're saying, embrace your crown. And so I'm taking both my hands right now and I'm just kind of holding my crown. And they're saying, embrace your crown, embrace yourself, embrace your heart, and embrace the life that will reveal. And they're telling me 4 and 8, I think it's like 4 months and then like another 8 weeks after that. Those two numbers, which of course together are the 12, are really dancing with you right now. So let it come forward. Go back into your heart.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sweetheart. Namaste.
Many blessings indeed. Namaste. You know, I one of the things I smile at is that we all need a little reassurance and a little reminders.
Well, we do. And, you know, so often, Sri, when we all feel like we're stuck or when we feel like we've gone off track, it's often because the universe is saying, look, your next phase has already begun. Your next phase is right in front of you. Just let us know when you're ready. And until then, you're kind of like in this waiting room, holding pattern.
Yeah, there's that. And then there's also a piece that ties into this whole fundamentalism concept.
Exactly.
Repetition.
Uh-huh.
You know, when we get to a place in our lives where all of a sudden we're losing energy, all mm-hmm. of a sudden we're feeling tired, we're mm-hmm. not sure what you know, our next step is, chances are it's because we overstayed our welcome. We hung out too long at one stage in our journey, and we lost sight of the momentum and the inspiration.
Because it's safe and it's easy.
Uh huh.
You know, that's really what
part of ourselves right. got into a repetitive.
The pain,
pattern.
You know.
And that repetitive pattern is truly one of the natures of density that will keep pulling us away from our ultimate inspiration, yet provides a sense of security.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
You know, that's the one thing about density is everyone knows the rules, and you can pick your religion, you can pick your society, you can pick whatever you want, and you know your rules and play well.
Okay. And so it is.
And so it is. Well, let's head to another line here. We're going to go to line 2 and say hi to Bonnie from Arizona.
Well, namaste, Bonnie. Welcome to Sri and Kira.
Well, thank you for accepting my call. So appreciate it. I am wondering if you could do a soul reading for me. I am experiencing swollen ankles, and my calves have huge welts on them and many hives. I've just recently been through a divorce. and adjusting phenomenally well, so I think. And I have been introduced to a man that I totally adore and wondered if you could give me and bless me with a beautiful son.
Well, it's my honor, Bonnie. And first of all, thank you so much for calling today. And I want to share with you that when I gaze at your energy field, it's really interesting to me. Your heart is glowing. I mean, your heart energy right now is just like glow, 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 glow. But everything below your heart is like quiet. And that's part of what's going on with your feet, is that they're saying that there's this energy in you that's so vibrant and lifting and connected and excited and enthused, that there's this other piece of the moving forward requires taking firm steps. And that what they're, it's so funny, they're saying, swim in the wave of your joy, ride on the ocean of eternity, and allow yourself to walk into your new life with confidence, presence, and knowing. And they're showing me like almost an Epsom salt foot bath. And they're saying that on a very physical level, that would serve you very, very well. And drinking an enormous amount of water. When I gaze into your body right now, there's a sense of dehydration. And so you want to drink a lot of water. But this for you right now, it's really about remembering that the steps that you're taking to create your new life are perfect. They're upon you, and to remember that the two are one, you know, to stay grounded in that movement forward as you begin. I just see you dancing and smiling and moving. And so try those couple things on, and you are amazing. I see, boy, the next 8 months for you, awesome. Just go have fun. It's your time.
Oh, you are beautiful. Thank you. You're bringing tears to my eyes. So.
Oh, Angel, you're bringing tears to ours. We love you. Have fun.
Thank you. I will. I'm dancing right now. Thank All you, right. doll. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye now.
Bye, honey.
Bye-bye. Many blessings. And yes, let's dance and have a little fun.
I'm always there. I always say Snoopy dance. Yeah, I don't know if you guys remember Snoopy, but I just love the Snoopy dance. Nothing more fun than that.
And if I could just get boring for a moment.
Oh, always.
You know, the Snoopy dance
yes.
is an expression of joy.
Yes, it is.
Take the lesson.
I am.
You don't have to dance. You just need the joy. And with the joy comes the dancing, comes the creation,
all
comes
of it,
the passion,
all
comes
of it,
the recognition,
the abundance, the manifestation, the miracles.
The ethics of the heart come
yes,
forward.
Indeed.
There we go. Line
right.
three, Cambridge, Massachusetts. We're going to say hi to Elizabeth.
Namaste, Elizabeth. Welcome.
Namaste. Thank you both so much for the joy you bring. I would like a mini soul reading. I just feel like I'm not connecting with my deepest self to see my next steps.
Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you for calling. I love connecting with you. It's so beautiful. Yeah. When I connect with you, I immediately see literally right behind you. I mean, like just this huge rising energy is this meditating Kuan Yin in this beautiful, beautiful, very elegant clothing and serene facial features. And she's pouring, her hands are in this beautiful mudra over you as she's pouring these like beautiful radiances of wisdom onto you. And then on either side of you are these two crystalline, one looks very blue starborn to me. One looks very like Melchizedek-ish to me. And they're all toning, and it's this beautiful, beautiful harmony. And what they're saying is that everything you need is within you and has been brought into you now. However, the tone of your soul seeks to activate you. And they're showing me you, if you have a bathtub, this would be great to do in the tub, where you're just in the bathtub and make it beautiful, you know, lavender, candles, whatever you want. And then they said, bring your hands to your root chakra and tone. Just tone, any tone you want. Bring your hands to your second chakra, third, and just keep toning, 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 toning until you've done all the chakras. And then they said, just tone and let whatever needs to come out, and it's going to, it's like boom, it activates this wisdom energy that I'm watching this Kuan Yin pour into you. And I see you writing, talking, giggling, moving, like moving forward, doing different things, and suddenly connections. And so I encourage you to connect with these beautiful beings around you and to let your inner tone come forward. And they're also saying that if some of the things that come out of you at first, you're not real happy about the way it sounds, that's not what it's about. It's about getting the sound out and then bringing in this harmony of the soul, which is going to be, I'm not kidding, Elizabeth, it's like a boom. It's an instant activator. And I am so honored to know you. Thank you for calling today.
I am so grateful to both of you. Thank you so much. Blessings.
Thank you, Angel. Namaste.
Beautiful.
Boy, I almost started singing. I just want to sing. Like when I was connecting with her, I just wanted to tone. And anybody else out there, if you're feeling that, you know, sometimes it's about just, you know, we have all this energy inside of us. And, you know, look at today's topic. That's going to bring up a lot of energy. You know, whenever you talk about fundamentalism, that sometimes the best thing to do is just to let your body have its tone, have its harmony.
Absolutely. And that's really the essence of the spiritual practices.
Indeed.
You can call up energy practices and you'd be just as accurate. You know, one of the reasons that I wanted to talk about fundamentalism is not because I enjoy it. It's because it's woven into the density that we interact with.
Yeah, very much so.
The fundamentalism is woven into our density consciousness. And oftentimes
countries have been founded on it.
Absolutely. And we sometimes don't realize what's going on in our own minds.
Yeah, that's
in our
true.
Own being.
That's true.
You know, one of the things that we were given that by way of understanding this is really quite simple and quite beautiful. And so for those of you that want to draw your seven little circles in a vertical line.
So he's talking about you're drawing chakras right now, right? So that's what those circles are.
The seven chakras. Just consider for a moment, or you can play along in your head. The first three chakras.
The lower three, right? We're starting from the bottom up.
Starting at the base of the spine, to the sacral, to the solar plexus. Those are all about the physical body.
Yeah.
And you consider the power of those chakras that we used to joke, you know, we'd smile and say safety, sex, and power.
Well, that's really shorthand for those three.
That is shorthand for them. And truly, when a person is not safe, though, nothing works.
Right.
You know, and if a person doesn't feel loved, if a person isn't touched, if a person doesn't feel like they have some sense of personal power,
yeah.
Everything just is in a negative flow. So that's the first three. The next three start kind of at the high third chakra, meaning as the third chakra begins to transform from power to empowerment, there's an opportunity to lift into the heart. But the problem here is that's where the higher level of density can come in. And so the third, fourth, and fifth chakras can all be influenced by belief systems. So they're overlaid with how we think it's supposed to be, how we were told it is. And so our love is expressed only through permitted actions. Our voice is expressed only through condoned messages. You see how the belief systems come in? And
yeah.
So our power, meaning our essential energy, can only act in certain approved ways. And then as you lift to the higher chakras, now we're graduating out of the fifth and we're going into the sixth and seventh, we're looking at the dogmatic overlays.
Yeah.
So here these chakras give you the opportunity to connect to the cosmos. These chakras give you the opportunity to see beyond the physical, but with the lens of dogma, that energy is reflected back through the belief systems and the physical. So
right.
It keeps you in the box.
Well, it does keep you in the box. And it's really pretty powerful because especially when you start looking at some of these chakras that overlay, that kind of have to do dual duty, like the third and the areas of the third and even the fifth you know,
also,
very, very powerful. And a lot of times people have problems with both third and fifth chakra. And this is why. It's because you get caught in this trap of the experience of believing you are this. And this is really where the freedom of entering into the recognition that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. How about that we have chosen our parents? You know, some of the greatest freedoms in the world come when we're able to offer ourselves the gift of graduating from the dogmatic tradition.
Absolutely.
And inviting our deeper wisdom to come in. However, that can't happen until we resolve our own fears and our own doubts.
The fears and the doubts and the judgments.
Exactly. You know, and this is where fundamentalism is an overlay that's challenging.
Absolutely. Because the moment we judge ourselves as having done something wrong or we're bad
or being inherently flawed,
as soon as you bring in judgment, the only way the judgment can be sustained is through a dogmatic belief.
Right.
Versus a judgment's a fixed point of view based upon dogma.
And if you want to take that on steroids, you have fundamentalism that says there is absolutely no room in that view for interpretation. This one interpretation is it, period, end of story, it's over. And really, Sri, it serves a role for people that are very afraid and need very strict. It's like that young child that needs to know you cannot play with matches. And here's why, period.
Right.
Right.
And from that moment forward, they don't really explore the boundaries of matches.
Exactly.
Just don't touch it.
Just don't go near them. And, you know, why? Because I was told not to. Yeah. And this is the key, is that all traditions, all of them, and there is no reason for us to talk about one religion or one tradition or another, because at the unified stream of all of them, regardless of your upbringing or your childhood experiences or your adult experiences or your choices now, everything has served in conspiracy, so to speak, with your soul physical overlay to invite you to grow. Now, you grow to a level of comfort, and then that's when we plateau. You know, we tend to play on those fields for a while. You know, we grow to a level of comfort, we play on those fields, but then it becomes a question of, at some point, you notice that way in the distance of that field is a stairwell leading up to another hill. And you have to decide whether or not, A, it's too far to get to the ladder, and B, if you get to the ladder, if you have the energy to climb it, because there's always more. And it's irrespective of where you believe you are on your attainment, while you still have body, there is still more.
There is still more. And there's also the need to recognize that what's emanating your body is your soul energy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And as we awaken to that truth of our soul's energy, then the fear of death, then the issues of the body, it becomes a relationship with your body,
right,
rather than an identity.
Well, you know, I love, Sri, I have to admit, I love in the Bhagavad Gita, where they talk about when Krishna is sharing with Arjuna that, you know, just like we shed our bodies, right, that our bodies are just this beautiful helper along the way. And that as our energy, as our frequency becomes higher and higher and higher, as we attain more and more and more, the body actually gets that you don't need it anymore. And so it's almost important to recognize that it's a gift of love that the body starts giving its own deterioration, because it's saying, look, I get that I'm holding you back. And so there's this sense of recognition that the soul is leading, thereby the body is saying, okay, if you're ready to go with, if your journey is ready without me, I love you enough to support that. Versus you can also reverse age if your soul and body are in harmony, that you still have unfinished business to do on the planet. And that's when you have to look at all of the gurus on the planet, all of the masters of the planet that have gone into their Maha Samadhi by choice, that have been with us when they have, or that left early, was mm-hmm. because, I mean, I'll use Paramahansa Yogananda as an example of that, 52 years old. Paramahansa had reached a point of attainment where it didn't serve his physical form to be on the planet anymore. So again, these are things that wait for us beyond the fundamentalism, because we have been able to harness all of the best of all of the teachings and then dive without the fear and dive without any hesitancy or judgment into that one-on-one reunification.
The one-on-one reunification, to see the oneness and to recognize that every dogma, every fundamental belief will at some point cause you to say, where's the heart?
Well, and that's
where
the gift
is
of it,
the
isn't
heart
it? You know, you were mentioning to me earlier, Sri, some new statistics, and you know, let's you know, right now, I think what's fascinating to look at is in the United States right now, you know, down here in Guatemala, they're in the middle of presidential elections. And I can tell you it's nothing like the United States.
Well, it doesn't cost $1 billion to become president.
No, and but what's fascinating to me is that if you look at the field, and I'm sorry, Republicans, I just have to talk about it for a moment, because you've got like, it's like fundamentalism from A to Z. And every brand in between. And really what this is a small voice that has a lot of money and is very well organized and is passionate about being heard. And so every single person within that small voice that can is saying, hear us, feel that we are greater or have greater presence than we do. Because the reality is that voice is not representative of the majority. It's just representative of the best funded verbal vote, well, that, vote
and
out there.
And that's really the deception, is that if we intuitively connect with the mass of folks that comprise the United States of America, because
right.
they're the ones that are got most of this news dance going on,
yeah,
there is not a quote moral majority or Tea Party majority. What there is a well-funded vocal group that is expressing some anger and some discomfort that is shared by many people.
Well, and there's also, Sri, I want to use the word a fundamentalist. I want to use the that just happened in Texas with the Allah cartoon contest.
Right.
Okay. Yes, definitely. Everyone has the right to free speech. And in a world of ascended consciousness, we also offer ourselves respect for all. And in the respect for all, we don't go out and intentionally say, I'm going, because I have the right to say it, or because I have the right to hate, I'm going to hate publicly, or I'm going to do things in a public way that show hate.
It's you're dealing with a very sophisticated nuance, because free speech, absolutely. Does that give you the right to be verbally abusive?
Exactly. Does that,
where is that line?
Well,
once again, where's the heart?
But that's why the fundamentalism is succeeding right now, because the heart, When we start living from the heart, when we really wake up to our greater spiritual reality, to our divine connection beyond the dogma, a sense of spiritual responsibility and a sense of harmony takes over.
Yes.
And thereby, the big rules and all the other things are no longer needed, because there is this self-regulation through the recognition and the compassion and the lack of judgment. And yet, when you have judgment is when you see these wild interpretations. I mean, look at the wild interpretations they're throwing around in the Supreme Court, and these wild interpretations you're seeing all over the world right now. Wild interpretations come from an alignment with density that is seeking to self-preserve a lower level of consciousness, because they're terrified. It always comes down to fear.
Absolutely. And with an intelligent brain and a repressed fear comes all kinds of eloquent spin.
and people are graduating in spin now. You know, spin is now a course. It's now a degree. It's now a highly coveted position.
I got off that train when spin had something to do with records and music. Well, listen, we're going to take a little commercial break and give you all a chance to stretch your legs if you can do so. And when we come back, we're going to take your calls and explore some more. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Namaste, beloved one. This is Kira Ra, and I am inviting you to take a journey of the soul in the land of the heart. Imagine your life free from chaos and filled with creative clarity. Imagine waking up each day in your private lakefront casita, greeted by brilliant sun, flowers, and birds. It is here that you will effortlessly resurrect your divine blueprint in pristine energy. Yes, I am inviting you to join us for a personal resurrection vacation retreat at beautiful Lake Atitlan, Guatemala. Here, you can rejuvenate your life as you indulge in Tosa spa cuisine, private healing sessions, yoga, tai chi, meditation, and loving support. Imagine enjoying pure air, zero noise pollution, and endless stars in this ascended nirvana. The time is now to claim your true joy. Learn more by visiting SriandKira.com and just click on the Resurrection Vacation Treat page. Tosala Laguna, healing lives, healing hearts. We welcome you home.
The path of self-ascension is a conscious decision that brings your life experience into alignment with soul consciousness, the rare gift of an active approach to living in the heart and manifesting the present moment. Sri Ram Ka and Kira Ra invite you to visit Self-Ascension Magazine, a free online self-ascension hub that lifts your spirits and frees your heart to soar. On the Self-Ascension Magazine website, you can read Sri and Kira's perspectives on what's happening today, discover a daily meditation and weekly practice, watch special video and audio clips, follow Kira Ra's messages from the Archangelic Realm, and learn about upcoming events or courses. Relax and enjoy a visit to Self-Ascension Magazine online at www.shriandkira.com. Explore, participate, and unfold this rare treat for yourself. Remember, that's shriandkira.com.
Namaste, beloved ones, and welcome back.
Whew, that was a great break. We are so glad that you are back with us. I bet you were sitting there going, you know what, Shri, you know what, Kira, this fundamentalism, whew, what a topic.
Well, it's a little heady, which I'm tiring because we don't need to be in our heads.
No.
We have to be able to converse with our neighbors.
Well, and it's an important month. You know, the reason we're talking about this in May is because, remember, we are in the chakra vastu energy of the crown, and we just came through this beautiful full moon on May 4th. We're in this pre-retrograde energy right now, which is really amazing. You know, pay attention, because I've noticed things that I've had to do twice. I've noticed little things that have happened that I just kind of giggle and smile and go, wow, that would normally be like mid-retrograde. So the good news is, guys, we're getting it all over before it actually begins. And it's only 9 days until we actually get into this. And then we'll flow. We'll actually have a beautiful, easy flow into June. So balance, harmony, what's going on in your brain, and make sure your heart is right alongside it as you ignite a crown of divine reunion. Now, one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this, Shri, is because that actually, you know, I'm of course discussing fifth dimensional experiences of this moment.
Right.
However, if we go into the third dimensional experiences of this moment, they are very different.
Absolutely. And they're going to be in the repetitive, ever-tightening cycle that we kind of touched on earlier, which is about fear, domination, power, who's in power, how do I get power?
Exactly.
My beliefs versus your beliefs.
Well, hey, look at what just happened in Great Britain this past week. And I love that it happened in May. Everyone said that it would be the Liberal Party that would win. All the polls had it. They were sure Cameron was out, and he has a surprise victory to the point where all of the Liberals resigned. You want to talk about going up into your head and things getting a little wild, huh?
You're going to see more of that kind of craziness.
Exactly. May's not over.
It reminds me a little bit of the whole ISIS thing.
Uh-huh.
You have a fundamentalist group that's coming from the root chakra and is really working on fear. And when you behead someone and show it on camera, you're trying to incite fear in mm-hmm. others, fear of death, fear of their own mortality, and to get people to align and anchor around that level of consciousness. Now, I'm not here to talk about them except that it's interesting that in the United States, there are fundamentalist Christians who say that the reason ISIS is here has everything to do with homosexuality.
Oh, I, you know, it's
and
so...
And of course, Katrina.
Right,
And it's just this absurd connecting the dots. And basically,
yeah, that
saying,
it's the retribution that the United States is going to suffer.
We're going to take the fear of the body, and now we're going to bring in the dogmatic belief, and we're going to hook the two together.
Well, before you know it, we're going to be burning witches again, too. I mean, I'm glad I'm not there right now.
Also, the fear of the secular state, the fear of liberal education,
right.
The fear that there will be those that threaten the dogma.
Or how about, God forbid, we teach sexual education, you know, I mean, there's just so much fear.
Which leads us to an amusing thing. Over in Denmark, sex ed classes are about teaching you to procreate.
I love that. Yeah, right now, do it for Denmark. It's a whole new campaign. Yeah, do it for Denmark. They actually want you to get pregnant.
Their population is aging. They're so I don't know what the right word is, liberal, modernized, and heavily taxed, that nobody raises children anymore. And the underwriters there are saying, hey, if we don't have some fresh kids coming in, our country's going to end. A little different than China.
Well, it's really different everywhere in the world, as are belief systems. And it's when we get into this fundamentalist judgmentalism, because that's really, for me, fundamentalism and judgmentalism are the same thing. Because when you have a belief that it is one way, that there is no room for anything other than this strict interpretation of this, then what you're really saying is, I judge everything else in the world, everything else to be wrong.
And I'm in a constant state of tension.
And a constant state of no, and a constant state of polarity.
Okay, so let's give you the anecdote.
Okay, let's have it, baby. I'm ready.
It's called breathing.
Woo-hoo!
At least that's one of them.
That's a good beginning.
One anecdote is to embrace silence and notice your breath.
Yeah.
Embrace silence, release your words. Embrace silence and breathe. And as we do that, you could call it a meditation, you can call it an orientation. What's happening is we dissolve the grip of the belief systems and we move into the oneness of the moment.
Exactly. And I have to, I feel compelled to talk about the Lost Books of the Essene, because this is where, and a lot of you know that Sri and I are very, very blessed to be opening the first Cosmic Essene community on the planet. But one of the things that it says in the Lost Books of the Essene, and this is something, Sri, that I think more than ever is more valuable today, maybe than the day it came in, which is for those who are asleep, tuck them in. Yep. For those who are drowsy, just be present. And for those who are awake, go play and have fun. And essentially what they're saying is, if you come up against someone whose values and whose statements are so outside and so outside of the harmony of your heart, don't tuck them in, wish them well, and do not engage. Exactly. You know, because the reality is, how many of you lose too much of your energy, your love, your resources, your time, even trying to engage this stuff? And that's really the bigger lesson of today's show, is that it's time to remember, where do you feel the best when you're engaging with people, when you're interacting with media? What makes you feel great? If it leaves you feeling uplifted, if it leaves you feeling expanded, if it leaves you feeling joy-filled, keep doing it.
Absolutely. And that could come whether it's a beautiful song, whether it's a dance, whether it's breath work, whatever
exactly
moves you into that state of
whether
oneness.
Whether it's saying you remove Fox News from your channels.
You can program the remote.
Exactly.
And we have some callers that have been patiently standing by.
All right.
So we're going to head over to the lines. Let's go to line 4 and we'll say hi to Adam from California.
Namaste, Adam. Welcome.
Hi there. It's great to connect with you.
It's great to connect with you too, sweetheart. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing fairly well. Yes, definitely. I wanted to know if I could possibly get a mini soul reading, as there have been a lot of shifts and opportunities arising in my life at the moment, and it's happening rather quickly and kind of throwing my head first in. So I was wondering if I may be able to get some clarity on my current life situation.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad that you called in today. I really am. You know, as you were sharing, it's funny. I was just sitting here smiling because, wow, yeah, I get why your head is spinning. Holy whoa, that's a lot going on at once. Here's what's going on, though, is that as I gaze at you, it's funny. I see you in like this beautiful hammock, you know, like one of these nice white rope hammocks strung between two trees at the beach. It's like strung between two palm trees. You're sitting on the beach, the waves are going, the breezes are going, and you're just gently being cradled. And all of these beings around you are saying, stay in the divine cradle of your cosmic truth and go slow. They're saying, just don't be pushed. Just go slow. Pay attention one thing at a time, and that there is ahead of you, they keep using the word a grand adventure, and they want me to use those words that way. There is a grand adventure ahead of you, and let it be gentle. Just anytime it starts feeling like everything's coming around too much, go back into this hammock. Know that you're in this beautiful state of like crystalline suspended support. And the, I guess that's the last thing I want to share with you is that you've got an enormous amount of support around you, just very slow, very methodical. Make sure things feel spacious and it's just going to go click, 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 click. I'm so glad you called.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
You are awesome. Thank you, sweetheart.
Oh, many blessings indeed. You know, let's head over to line one and say hi to Allison from San Diego.
Well, namaste, dear one. Welcome.
Yes or no?
Okay. Are you there? Okay, we're going to go to the next line then.
Well, then we'll head to line five and welcome Rebecca from Washington.
Namaste, Rebecca. Welcome.
I'm not hearing anything. How's our connection? Oops. All right. It looks like our phone calls have dropped. That sometimes happens.
Well, that's okay. You can always call back.
Somebody can call right in and get right in the queue here. We had a little hiccup.
Well, you
there
know,
on
we have so
lines.
Much to talk about though, Sri. So let's dive right into it because I really want to make sure we get through all this.
Well, one of the things I want to bring back into the forefront of our attention is how the belief in the body keeps us locked to the earthly paradigm. And that
now, you're talking our belief that all we are is our body.
Exactly.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with a body. A body is a wonderful vessel. A body is indeed your spacesuit, your ability to navigate the world, and it's a great, great gift. So to have a relationship with your body is exactly what's needed. To be in sacred union with the body, to understand how the body works and how to care for it and what and how to work with it. However, when the body dominates one's consciousness, when you believe that you are the body, then you've limited your evolutionary opportunity, at least for those moments. And so belief systems that arise from the body are always going to be earth-centric, are always going to have a hidden fear of death built into them, and the need to be saved. And it's very interesting how that permeates so many different religious traditions. So coming around to the work of self-ascension, to the recognition of those of you that tune in with what we're publishing and what we talk about is it's really time to release all words and simply allow your energy to be noticed. That's really one of the magic pieces, is to release the need for words and let the energy of the cosmos touch you. Now take a deep breath on that one for a moment, because oneness happens when we've released dogma. Oneness happens when we've released fear of death. Oneness happens when we realize that we don't need to be delivered from anything, that we are okie dokie, right as we are, and that those are the antidotes to the dogma, to the fundamentalism, is that cosmic touch
always
that happens when we release all need to control, define, or promulgate.
Well, you know, promulgate. You know, I really want to jump in here and say that as we're coming to the close of the show, it's amazing to me always how quickly the shows go. One of the things that we really want to get a point across to you today is this: you have a choice. Everything that's happening on the planet right now is here because it's conspiring to wake you up. Our planet is twinning. And again, if you have not watched that installment that was delivered in March, go back to official Sri and Kira. If you did watch it again. You know, watch the revelations we talked about for this month of May, because there is so much happening. And when or if you find yourself rubbing up against points of view that make you crazy or projections that truly have nothing to do with you, all projections are fear being expressed. That's all they are. They never have anything to do with you. They may be directed at you, but believe me, they have nothing to do with you. And whenever you find yourself in that moment, whenever you discover yourself feeling less than bountiful or joy-filled or miracle-filled, those are the moments when you need to take that deep breath, as Sri mentioned, relax out, and remember the crown that you are wearing right now. In this moment, lift up, breathe up, and feel your beautiful crown. Feel the jewels of the universe ignite for you. Feel your own presence as a illuminated being of divine peace, love, and joy. Feel the gift of the divine cosmic Esina wrapping around you now, whispering into your ear and saying, beloved one, you are loved, you are supported, you are awake. And you are on track.
Absolutely. And as you follow that energy, as you just relax and surrender into that flow, you move into that state of being that some people call present time. Mm-hmm. It's that now moment where there is no need for anything because all is there.
Yes.
And that's your true nature, beloved ones.
I love your true nature.
And so as we come to a close for today, we want to thank you to each and every one of you. We want to thank our good brains for tracking what they track.
And our beautiful crowns for igniting.
Our hearts and our crowns for playing their part. And trust yourselves.
Yes.
You know, we all dropped through a veil of forgetfulness, and we're remembering. And in the remembrance is the essence, and in the essence is the joy. Beloved ones, until we have the joy to be with you again next week, may you know that all is truly well.
Thank you for joining us at Sri and Kira Live. To have your questions answered, send us an email to guest@sriandkiraradio.com and check out more information at sriandkira.com. See you next week. Namaste.